Wrestling with siblings, what's
yeah,
up?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah. In the state.
Yeah, yeah.
Life is a fight, so I gotta get right.
Right.
Can't have my back on the ropes.
Never.
This for my sister and bro. I swear that we'll make it, that's all that we hope.
Like
Stone Cold. Get hit with a stunner, that's all that she wrote. The world that we live in has made me cutthroat. I started rapping about life just to cope. Now I spit fire like Ricky Steamboat. Straight from the bottom, got so much to gain. I had to grind just to build on my name. People call me champ, I'm feeling like Dwayne. I lay the smack down, here comes the pain.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Wrestling with Siblings. I'm your host, Araceli, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
Let's get started with the Survivor Series review, and this year, they were over in New York City.
Definitely one of the most exciting pay-per-views of the year. Why? Because you get Raw versus SmackDown. Brand supremacy to prove who is the best brand, and not only that, bragging rights. So definitely one of the best pay-per-views of the year that I always look forward to.
100%. This is for sure one of my favorite pay-per-views, and it's also one of the big four. But let's get started with the opening match, and it was the kickoff match. It was none other than Nakamura versus Damian Priest. And right off the bat, Nakamura walked in with the advantage. Why? Because he had an extra body and an extra brain, and that was Rick Boos.
Obviously, he knew that Damian Priest was going to get distracted with Rick Rude, and sure enough, that's what ended up happening. Throughout the match, Rick Rude was playing his guitar, and that kind of seemed to bother Damian Priest, and that kind of threw him off his game. But other than that, Damian Priest brought the fight to Nakamura. I don't think Nakamura was expecting that kind of fight. He was expecting the older Damian Priest, not this new one, which he's more aggressive.
Nakamura went into this match very, very focused, very concentrated. He knew the advantage that he had, and maybe this was his plan all along. Maybe he said, you know what, I can crack Damian Priest. Maybe he thought, you know what, I can't beat Damian Priest without bringing something new to the table. And this is exactly what he did. Boos every single time that Priest had one up on Nakamura. What would he do? He would play the guitar, as you mentioned. And this eventually got the best of Damian Priest. And we saw a completely different side. We saw a more brutal, a more determined Damian Priest. He was out for blood, and this cost him the match tonight at Survivor Series.
And not only that, as the match kept on getting longer and going deeper into the match, he started to get frustrated. And I think Nakamura and Rick Rude caught that, and they were able to capitalize on that. Even though they won via disqualification, a win is a win for the SmackDown brand.
Oh yeah, 100%. And we got to see Damian Priest crack. He literally broke Rick's guitar. And from there, it was endgame. I think this is going to be a turning point for Damian Priest. And I'm going to like this new Damian Priest. I'm going to like to see where he goes next and what he's going to do to get a victory. Or even if he's determined to get wins, I think he's just going to go out and destroy his competitors moving forward.
I think Damian Priest is evolving into a new personality. So we'll see where that all ends up playing out. I'm starting to like this new personality, this aggression that you see, this fire in his eye. That in his eyes, so we'll see where that leads him up to.
100%. All right, let's move on to the opening match of the show. And this was probably the most anticipated match of the night. And to me, this was a show stealer. This is a very, very personal match between two best friends, Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch.
Definitely have to agree with you on that one. I was definitely looking to this match. Why? Because Becky and Charlotte made this personal. Yeah, we all know their backstory. They were best friends. They pretty much went on the road together. And this rivalry turned into them being enemies. Definitely, they stole the show. Pretty much best match of the night.
100%. Right off the bat, they didn't waste any time. They were both out to hurt each other. And you can see the anger, the determination to prove which woman is the best. Keep in mind, a big part of why Becky Lynch became the man was because of Charlotte Flair, because of her feud with Charlotte. And Charlotte, obviously, the best of her is brought out between the competitors that know her the best, including Sasha Banks. And part of that is Becky Lynch. And every single time Charlotte went for a moonsault or for a move, Becky was able to counter that. And this also comes from her knowing Charlotte Flair super, super well.
And like we mentioned before, this is what I like about having matches where these two competitors known each other for years, because you have to bring that new offensive, you have to bring that new aggression, and they bring out the best of you. Why? Because your opponent already knows what you're going to bring to the table so that new offense always comes into play.
And you have to keep in mind, one of Charlotte Flair's biggest, weakest points is the fact that she starts to get frustrated. As soon as she starts to realize that she cannot put her opponent away, what does she do? She starts to get frustrated. And this is what the turning point of every single one of Charlotte Flair's matches is. This is where we see her crack. And Becky Lynch knew that going into this match.
And I think Becky was very patient on that. She knew that from the get-go that at some point Charlotte was going to get frustrated. The deeper the match was going to go, the more it was going to benefit Becky Lynch. And we saw Charlotte. She tried to put the match away early, but she just couldn't. Because Becky was like, no, if I hang in, and there she is going to make a mistake. And sure enough, she made that mistake. Charlotte Flair was trying to cheat by using the ropes as she was trying to get the pinfall. And she gets caught. So what does Becky Lynch do? She reverses it as she uses pretty much the same move that Charlotte Flair used on her. As she's pinning her, she grabs the rope on the low hand side over here and she ends up taking the win.
Yes, 100%. I think Becky Lynch outsmarted Charlotte Flair. And you can see Charlotte, she wasn't shocked. She was kind of laughing about it because she knew that that one mistake cost her entire match. And now it's going to be interesting to see going forward what this is going to do to Charlotte Flair. Because keep in mind, she wanted the bragging rights. She kept saying, you know what? I am the best woman, male or female, to ever do it in this business. And at this point, Becky Lynch took her down during this match.
Two of the biggest women's name in WWE right now, Becky Lynch and Charlotte Flair, definitely delivered in this match. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, you definitely have to watch it. You're not going to get disappointed.
100% agree with you on that one. Let's move on to the 5-on-5 traditional elimination match. It starts off with the men. And representing Team Raw, we have none other than the almighty Bobby Lashley. We have Austin Theory, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, and none other than Seth Rollins.
All former world champions except for Austin Theory. Austin Theory was pretty much the rookie, the new guy in this team, but he held his end at the end of the day with the Raw team.
And this is a really, really solid team. They have major powerhouses in this team compared to the SmackDown team. The SmackDown team was represented by none other than King Woods, Jeff Hardy, Sheamus, Happy Corbin, and Drew McIntyre. You can see the difference in powerhouses in this team. The only powerhouse that SmackDown has was none other than Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, not only that, I also agree with that. Sheamus is also, if you want to call him, another powerhouse, but I think he pretty much evened out the odds with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins.
100%. And starting off this match, Kevin Owens decides, you know what? I am going to walk out. I am not going to compete in this match. And right off the bat, SmackDown is already at an advantage over Raw. We knew going into this match that Raw was going to be at the disadvantage. Why this is the team that didn't get along. If you look, these people have all feuded with each other. Kevin Owens doesn't like Seth Rollins. And at the end of the day, that's what ended up making Kevin Owens say, you know what? I don't want to be a part of this match. He got himself counted out, and this cost Raw at the very beginning of their match.
Giving Seth Rollins a taste of his own medicine. Last year's Survivor Series, if I'm not mistaken, Seth Rollins did the same thing. He pretty much went in, got counted out, and he was out of the SmackDown team. So, hey, you know what? Giving him a taste of his own medicine as well. Seth Rollins, I was surprised. He actually worked as a team. He waited for the perfect opportunity to capitalize, and he was just like, you know what? I'm going to keep calm. I'm going to bring it home for Raw, and he pretty much ended up doing that.
Yes, we knew the pride that he takes being a part of Raw, and he definitely proved that with this match. But you have to give credit where credit is due for Team SmackDown. Team SmackDown went in very, very prepared, and Drew McIntyre really let his emotions get the best of him. I feel like if that wouldn't have been the case, he probably would have been the sole survivor for Team SmackDown. But he let his emotions get the best of him as he faced Bobby Lashley, and they both got counted out.
I agree with you on that one. I think those two guys were going to be the game changers in the Survivor Series match. They did let their emotions get to them. They completely forgot about the match, and they wanted to prove to each other who was the best. And unfortunately, they got counted out.
I was actually very surprised that King Woods didn't make it as far as I thought he was going to make it. But major props to Austin Theory, who was, I believe, in the final two, if I'm not mistaken. Absolutely incredible performance by Austin Theory. The guy's a star. He's going to be fantastic in the WWE.
Yeah, I felt the experience factor of not being in a Survivor Series match played a huge role. But other than that, he did do a pretty good job at going as far as he did.
And him not being a part of a Survivor Series 5-on-5 match before did give him some sort of advantage, because he had some really good mentors. He had Seth Rollins, he had Finn Balor, he had Kevin Owens, who didn't even participate in the match. He had quite fantastic mentors going into this match, and it really, really showed the knowledge that he brought into Team Raw.
I have to agree with you on that. Jeff Hardy being the last one in the SmackDown Survivor Series team, which, you know, he wrestled his heart out and he ended up being short against Seth Rollins.
Yes, 100%. I'm very, very impressed with the performance of Jeff Hardy. Knowing everything he's capable of in the career that he's actually had, very, very impressive. Honestly, I didn't see him going that far. I thought maybe the last man standing was going to be Drew McIntyre, but that was not the case. Looking forward to seeing what Jeff Hardy is going to be doing in the near future.
Continuing on Jeff Hardy, I was actually surprised that he worked with Sheamus for a portion of the match together, because I was like, okay, these guys feud in the past, they've had history, it's going to come back and haunt them. And for a period of the time, they were actually working good. But sure enough, what happens? Austin Theory eliminates Sheamus. Sheamus gets upset and he takes it out on Jeff Hardy. And I think that's what kind of cost Jeff Hardy the match, because that kind of threw him off his game.
I agree. And this is where Seth Rollins does what he does best. He sees that opportunity. I mean, we've seen him. He pulled up the heist of the century back in 2015. And at this point, you know what? He saw his opportunity and he completely took advantage of that, taking Team Raw to the victory at Survivor Series.
Finn Balor was another one that I thought that was going to go all the way. And pretty, if anything, I thought he was going to bring it home for Raw. But he ended up being short. He had great opportunity.
Yes, he had a fantastic opportunity going into this match. I think he's had some great momentum. However, knowing his team, I think he wasn't really focused. I think he wasn't truly there. If he would have been truly there, I think we would have seen a different outcome to this match other than Seth Rollins winning and bringing it home for Team Raw. All right, let's move on to the 25-man Battle Royal. Very, very interesting. We had 25 men pretty much honoring the legacy of The Rock. Right off the bat, Omos starts eliminating a whole bunch of people. And I think this is where everybody messed up. Right at the very beginning of the match, they should have taken that guy out. He is the biggest threat in this match. They didn't take him out. And unfortunately, he ended up winning. Well, fortunately for him, he ended up winning. Unfortunately for the rest of the talent, they all got eliminated by Omos.
Yeah, I think it was a bad decision on the roster not to eliminate the bigger man. If you eliminate the bigger man, you have a greater chance of winning and getting rid of your biggest threat. And when they actually try to eliminate him, it was only 4 superstars, and that wasn't enough to get the big man out.
That definitely wasn't enough to get him out. But brilliant strategy by AJ Styles. What does AJ Styles do? And this is why he is considered one of the best wrestlers in the world, using a brilliant strategy. Is standing right outside and he's just there hanging out waiting for Omos to do the entire destruction. He was a fresh AJ Styles as soon as he went into this match, and unfortunately he got eliminated by Omos. But at the end of the day, a win for Omos is a win for AJ Styles.
That is correct, but hopefully AJ doesn't take this personal, because the way it looks is that AJ wanted to win and be like, you know what, Omos, me and you are going to be the last two, why don't you just go ahead and jump out and I win. And going back to what you said, if I win, you win. So we'll see. I mean, huge victory for Omos. We'll see where that leads up for Omos.
Yes. All right, let's move on to the Tag Team Championship match. RK-Bro representing Team Raw and the Usos representing Team SmackDown.
I thought that the Usos were going to take this one home just because of all the experience that they had. I mean, in my point of view, they're one of the best tag teams in the WWE right now, if not in history. And I mean, they face the best tag team in the world.
Yes, I think the biggest advantage that they have is that they have been together since birth. They work very, very well together. But I feel like they kind of underestimated RK-Bro. Yes, they haven't been together for that long. But these teams have learned to work very, very well together. And I feel like if it wasn't because of Randy Orton's experience and the type of matches that he's been in, I really do believe the Usos could have taken it home from 2 SmackDown.
Yeah, I think Randy Orton is pretty much mentoring and carrying Riddle in this tag team partnership that they formed. And not only that, but they have momentum. And that momentum, they were able to carry it into this match. And they did a phenomenal job beating the Usos.
And you have to keep in mind, the Usos are under a lot of pressure. The reason why they're under a lot of pressure is because they have to please Roman Reigns, the tribal chief. He hasn't lost. He's been undefeated for, I believe, 451 days. Now imagine the pressure of coming into SmackDown on Friday and saying, hey, we lost to Team Raw at Survivor Series. That amount of pressure, I could only imagine what that's like for the Usos. And I think that was also an advantage for RK-Bro, and they completely took advantage of that.
Interesting. I want to hear what Roman Reigns has to say about the Usos losing against RK-Bro.
I can tell you he's not going to be happy. He's definitely 100% not going to be happy with the Usos. What type of punishment is he going to give them this time? What is he going to make them do? I have no idea. That's going to be a very, very interesting reason to tune into SmackDown.
But I believe it also, it's all going to depend on the outcome of his match between Big E and himself. So we'll see how that match turned out later.
Yes. All right, let's move on to the 5-on-5 women's elimination match. On Team Raw, we had none other than Bianca Belair, Carmella, Queen Zelina, Liv Morgan, and Rhea Ripley. And Team SmackDown was represented by Natalya, Shayna Baszler, Toni Storm, Shotzi Blackheart, and Sasha Banks.
The Team Raw started off pretty good, but again, I think the early elimination from Carmella is kind of what threw them off their game in the beginning. Why? Because Carmella was too worried about her face protecting it, and as she's putting her mask on with the help of Zelina, she pretty much gets eliminated. So right from the get-go, you could say that Raw started off with the one less woman.
Yes, they had 4 women instead of 5, but Raw's biggest advantage was that they knew that Team SmackDown was not going to coexist, and we saw that throughout this match. They were tagging each other. At one point, nobody wanted to tag in Sasha Banks. It got to the point where everybody on Sasha's team took out Sasha Banks to ensure they were going to get a win for their team. And unfortunately for them, they took out probably the only person on this team that was capable of getting them a win. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not underestimating any of the other women. I think anybody on this team could have gotten them a win. But Sasha Banks is very experienced. She knows exactly what she's doing. And I feel like that was the biggest mistake that Team SmackDown made in this match.
And not only that, we did see Zelina lead the team at certain points of the match and be like, okay, you know, this is what we're going to do. Especially her being Queen of the Ring. You have to respect what she says because she knows what she's doing. She is the queen for a reason.
Unfortunately, Zelina got eliminated, but she did exactly what she said she was going to do. She was going to take Team Raw to victory, and that is exactly what she did. I think she had the best thought-out team. She had the powerhouses. She had every single sense of style in this match, and unfortunately, she got eliminated early on, but it doesn't matter. The lone survivor was on her team, and that was Bianca Belair.
Yeah, at the end of the day, what matters is that your team, no matter what brand it is, takes the win, and that's exactly what Zelina's team did. They were able to learn how to survive, and that's not what the SmackDown team did.
I want to get a little bit into Liv Morgan, though. The woman is a star. I think WWE missed an opportunity with Liv Morgan. I think they really could have pushed her, and this could have showcased what Liv Morgan was capable of doing. We saw her go up against Shayna Baszler. How many women do you know that can go head-to-head with Shayna Baszler and actually give her a fight?
Not only that, but also she eliminated Toni Storm, one of the up-and-coming stars from NXT. And it was very impressive elimination that she had. I thought Liv Morgan was going to be pretty much the lone survivor. Yeah, probably she wasn't going to take it for Team Raw, but she was going to be there holding it down, fighting with her heart And unfortunately, she got eliminated.
Yeah, unfortunately, she got eliminated, I think, a little too early on. But she definitely proved what she was able to do during this match. Same thing with Shotzi. I think Shotzi's also going to be a superstar that you have to keep a very close eye on. She is coming after Sasha Banks. And she made it very, very clear tonight at the Survivor Series match that she is not going to stand for anything Sasha has to do. And what other way of making a name for yourself than going after the biggest person, the biggest star on your brand, and that was being Sasha Banks.
And I think that's where the SmackDown team pretty much fell. As soon as Shotzi and Sasha started to put their egos first, and that's when the team started to fall, because Sasha tried to go in the ring and then Shotzi pulled her, and then here comes Natty. So the egos pretty much got the best of them, and I think that's where the SmackDown team pretty much fell apart, because at one point they were 4-1, so that's where the team fell, and I think that was their mistake.
I agree with that. And I think on Selena's side, no one on that team really likes each other. We've seen Liv feud with every person there. Selena has feuded with every single person there. But I think Selena's mentality was like, you know what? We're one team. We have one mission. We have one goal, and that is to represent Team Raw. And that's how she got that team so confident to lead for a victory over SmackDown.
Agree.
All right, let's move on to our main event. This was also a fantastic match. Big E versus Roman Reigns.
The biggest test for Big E, not other than going against pretty much, you guys want to call it, the face of the WWE, the superstar that hasn't lost in over a year. So this was going to pretty much put Big E up there where the big names are.
And let me tell you, he hung with Roman Reigns. Did I see Big E beating Roman Reigns? No. The reason why I say that is, you said it, he hasn't lost in over a year. I believe he's been champion for 451 days. That is a major accomplishment. And right now, Roman Reigns is at the top of his game. He is the best he could possibly be. And to be completely honest, I don't think there's anybody on the roster right now that can take that championship from Roman Reigns.
And not only that, his confidence is through the roof. Not only because he does what he does in the ring, but because he's got the Usos. If there would have been a point in this match where Roman was going to be struggling, or he saw himself in trouble, he knew that the Usos were going to come out here and give him that support that he needed. So again, he's got the biggest advantage. Why? Because he's got the Usos.
And I agree when you say he has the biggest advantage, because he has the Usos and the biggest confidence. But keep in mind, he also has one of the best managers in all of WWE. He has Paul Heyman looking out for his best interest. And Big E was at a disadvantage from the get-go. But Big E making a name for himself, really proving and really representing Raw in the best way he possibly could. And unfortunately, he came out short, but you do have to give him credit where credit is due. He delivered one of the best matches in his career.
I think he impressed Roman Reigns. Why? Because at a certain point of the match, Roman Reigns did 3 Superman punches, and it didn't affect Big E whatsoever. If it would have been any other WWE superstar, they pretty much would have been done from the first one, and we've seen it multiple times. So I think he really, really impressed Roman Reigns, no doubt about that.
And if I'm not mistaken, there was 4 spears that he also delivered to Big E. That immediately puts Big E at a completely different level. Unfortunately, he came up short. But that's all we have for you guys on this episode of Wrestling with Siblings. Let us know in the comments below, how do you guys like the show? What do you think is going to happen next? And remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. And for those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, what does WWS stand for?
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much, and see you guys next.